Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, you know, somebody told me a joke just before service, and I've already forgotten it. It's a good one. I'll circle back to it. But I do have a couple of Christmas jokes for you. So here we go. You know how you always eat the fruit trays or whatever, and you get the nuts in the trays or whatever, the cheese baskets and the nuts and the fruits and all of that. So what kind of nuts always seem to have a cold? Cashew. Come on, that was good. All right. See? Thank you. There's extra blessing for you. What is a Christmas tree's favorite soda? Root beer. Because, you know, they cut, you know, and if Melissa says if you have to explain it, then you didn't do it right, right? All right. Dorks. I mean, in nomine pot, yeah. Here we go. We love you. All right, so let's posture our hearts. Let's posture our hearts together. I don't know about you, but I just don't want a ring-a-ding Christmas service. I want it to be like every other service. I want it to be meaningful. I want it to affect my life and infect a change. And I said that on purpose. Affect my life and infect a change. Are you with me? It means something what we do. We can just go through the motions, but that's not good whether it's your relationship with Jesus and God, or whether it's relationship with your wife or your husband, or whether it's relationship with your kids or your boss. Just going through the motions, it's just not healthy, right? We're not going to do that here. So let's posture our hearts. Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. We thank you for your precious, holy, written word. We thank you that it's your word that's a lamp unto our feet, that it's your word that's a light unto our path, and that it's your spirit that's our teacher, that I'm just the vessel for pouring, and these, your sheep, are vessels for receiving, and you have word for them, and it's your spirit that brings revelation, and it's not just information, it's revelation that brings transformation. And we declare that we are going to receive both comfort and conviction from your word today, because as we do, we know, as we become doers of the word, your promises that we'll be blessed in all that we do. Blessed means empowered to prosper. So we set our faith to believe for these things in the matchless and the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And everyone in the house said, amen, amen. Let's praise God for that. Come on. Come on, we can praise him for it. So we've been talking about Advent. Now again, it is gonna be a shorter message because I wanna explain to you what we're gonna do. We're gonna move from the word portion. We're gonna have communion together. Now we practice an open communion here, which means you don't have to be some member of the church or whatever. You are welcome to take communion with us because communion means a common union. I am unified with Christ. And in that unification with Christ, that vertical unification with Christ, that connects me with horizontally with everyone else in his body. You can't love Jesus without loving people. You can march around spitting and hollering all you want about how you love Jesus, but if you're not walking in love towards people, don't get it twisted. Amen? So that's what we're talking about, but what do we follow here? We've got to talk about context, right? We've got to talk about context. You can't have a conversation without context. We're in a series called Advent. And so we need to talk about the Advent. What are we talking about? What's the context of the conversation? Now, where's Abigail? Abigail, star student, why would we worry about something like context? Because we follow what here, guys? Rules of biblical interpretation. You don't decide what the Bible means. You don't pick out little pieces of it and stand on your opinion about it. You don't decide what it means. You discover what it means. And you do that by following the rules. And so we're going to follow context. So Advent means, the word Advent means arrival. That's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the arrival of the promised Savior. So let me read it to you out of Isaiah. And I did some things on purpose today. You know, a lot of times when we're studying or we're going line by line, I will have the scriptures up on and you can follow along with me. This is a different sort of a service. It's more of a family service. And we've got kids and stuff with us. So just follow along with me. I want you to hear with your heart. The Holy Spirit says, he that has an ear to hear, let him listen. Right? So just follow along with me. This is in Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the gospel's claim that coming, here's the thing, upon the gospel's claim of the coming of Jesus, it says that he would bring into the world peace, right? So we started off from the very beginning talking about the arrival. We talked about hope, we talked about peace, and we talked about joy. So just in recap, we have to understand that hope, it's not, you know, in the world we use the word hope, we mess up words, or words lose their meaning over time. The Bible word for hope is not a want, a wish, or a desire. Are you gonna get that PS4? Boy, I sure hope so. Nope, that's not the Bible word hope. The Bible word hope is a confident expectation. That is, you have a promise, you have a certain expectation of good. And what we remember at Advent, first and foremost, is that God is there and he's not silent, right? Secondly, that in the midst of our fallenness, everybody say fallenness. In the midst of our brokenness, everybody say brokenness. God was still there. He was not silent. And he was at work to bring about his will in the earth and in his people's lives, even though others had free will that they could use contrary. God was at work. The Bible says he watches over his word to perform it. And it wasn't just a week. It was over the course of history. History is his story of how he pursued us. You remember I said, listen to me now, we are not primarily created to love God. That is part of it. But we were primarily created to be loved by God. He's jealous for you. He loves you. And at Advent, we remember that he kept his promise, that we live in a messy and a fallen world. But in the middle of that mess, there was a message, right? And that he worked toward our good even when we were far away from him. He gave us hope. He gave us a reason to expect good. The New Testament says, even while we were yet sinners, Christ saved the ungodly. How much more now that we know him and we walk with him, will we go on being saved by his life? It makes me think of this song, King of Glory, or King of Heaven. It's my favorite Christmas song. They played it last week. They typically play it for me because it is my favorite. But I want you to listen to the lyrics for a second. It goes, you tore the night apart and ripped the silent skies in half. Your glory breaking through the dark. Think about that in the Christmas story. The Christmas story is a rescue story. We get these ideas of, you know, shepherds lazy and then, la 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 la. We think, We were lost. Humanity was struggling. And God had been working and working and working and working to get his sacrifice into the world, working with men. Why didn't he just do it? He's God. He can do anything. That's true, but God is also love, and love gives a choice, and choice doesn't force. So if somebody says they love you and they're forcing you, that's not love. Are you with me? Why did it take so long? Because he had to work through humans, because we were created to be loved by him, and he gives each and every one of us a choice. Are you with me? But over the centuries, anyone that would repent and would walk with him, he would work with them in spite of, everybody say in spite of their fallenness, in spite of their failure. He was good and he was faithful to his word. And even the New Testament says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he can't deny himself. He can't unlove you. He can't not love you. Are you with me? So he sends this hope into the world, a confident expectation of good. Now, what we're going to see as we move into the service later on, we're going to have communion, and then we're going to have a candlelight service. And it's not just these things we do by rote. It means something. His name is Emmanuel because he tore the silent skies apart. His glory broke through the dark, right? I love how it says, that song goes on to say, divinity in man confined, his great design drawn out for me, Emmanuel, God with us. When we start talking about Emmanuel, God with us, he arrived. God came. He came in the past. He is present in the present. Available. He is with you. And he also holds your future. And that goes for peace. We moved on to peace. And just like hope, Bible hope is very different than what we would say in the world, that the world calls hope, the world in general. But the peace is the same way. In the world, generally speaking, peace means the absence of trouble, the absence of strife, the absence of conflict. But in the Bible, peace doesn't mean that. Peace means I'm okay in the middle of conflict, in the middle of strife. You know, we can have a hard time during the holidays. I will, thank you, Lord. We can have a hard time during the holidays, and many people do, because it's meant to be a reminder to us of the faithfulness of God, but we forget that God was working with fallen people over centuries and didn't give up on us and kept his word to us. And when Jesus showed up, he said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Now, we will say that and we'll get up again. Sometimes we do traditional things and we sing songs and we be all rote. Peace. It didn't say peace between men. It said peace toward men. In other words, God has already made the decision to forgive you. He sent his son into the world to prove it to you. And that son was born to die as a sacrifice. We talk about the frankincense and myrrh, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We always talk about that. But did you know that historically, gold stands for divinity? If you look at the temple in the Old Testament, all of the furniture and it was all overlaid with gold. Not because they were trying to be rich or they were trying to be fancy, because gold stands for purity. I'm not pure, neither are you, but he was completely pure. And he, being pure, gave himself for you to remove your impurity so that you could become more and more pure like him. you can become the person he created and redeemed you to be. Frankincense. Frankincense was something that the high priest used. It represents the high priestly function of Jesus, where he stands in the gap between you and God. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he's the propitiation of our sins. Propitiation means the turning away of wrath by sacrifice. But not only our sins, but also the sins of the world. Everyone's sins. Frankincense stands for his priestly role. And then myrrh stands for him being a sacrifice. They always embalmed bodies with myrrh. He brought peace between God and man, a settled peace, if you can enter into it. But when you enter into the kind of peace that Jesus brings, remember Jesus said, "Peace I live with you. My peace I now give to you. Not as the world gives do I give." That's what he meant. Like in the world, peace is like, okay, now we can have peace. But the kind of peace that Jesus brings means you're going to have trouble. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You live in a fallen world, and people are jerks, and they have free will. And you might have some family, you might have some friends, you might have some things you're not looking forward to, but let me tell you this. When your peace comes from inside instead of outside, you can make all of those things meaningful. You can enjoy the heck out of the party, even though there's somebody there that's just a flibberty gibbet. Are you with me? Because your peace doesn't come from outside. It comes from inside. Same thing with hope. Your hope doesn't come from outside. It comes from inside. And then joy. We talked about joy. And joy, much the same way, is a choice. I love this scripture in Romans. When a person's source of joy and strength is provided by the Lord, he can be even killed and constant, just as God is constant, even when maybe he's not in joyful circumstances. And that's why I brought up, you know, sometimes the holidays can be hard because it's a reminder of people that maybe aren't here. Amen? It can be hard. Hard on lots of people because we've all suffered loss and will until Jesus comes back. That's another part of the hope. We live in a fallen world. But in the midst of that, you can still have joy. Joy. But just like peace, circling back, thank you, I will. Circling back to peace, Jesus said, not as the world gives do I give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be dismayed. Now, you guys know that I've taught this as long as I have been teaching. There's a God side and there's a man side to every subject in the Bible. Now, we do teach the God side first because he doesn't change, but it makes the man side easier. Our response, it makes it easier, but you still have to respond. A relationship is between two people. It's not one way. You relate to each other. Amen? And so just like peace is something we have to, don't let yourself be troubled. Don't let yourself be dismayed. That means you're going to be tempted to. But you have a source of peace that's not dependent on what you're going through. And the same thing is true with joy. Look at this. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, may the God, I want you to notice how he's got hope and peace and joy in the same scripture, and he tells us how it works. Now, you guys know me, I like to put handles on the truth. So I said all that to say this. And then we're going to start to... I'm going to start to give instructions. We're going to start to move along. I said all that to say this, though. Listen, Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Let's put handles on the truth now. How does that work? You told me that that's how it should be, but then how do I take that and make it work in my life? Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Watch. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May he fill you with all joy. That's an exuberance for life. And all peace. That means there's a sense that there's nothing missing and there's nothing broken. Contentment. That's good. Peace for the Christian is basically contentment no matter the circumstances. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says you find all of this in trusting him, in believing is what the King James says. Joy and peace in believing, in the act of you taking him at his word, trusting him, believing him, walking with him. When it looks good and when it doesn't look good. Knowing that just like he worked things out for the Israelites over thousands of years and brought about his will in history, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, the same way God can work that out over centuries, he can work his promises out over your little 80 years. If you walk with him and you believe in him. And not only that, but while you're going through the loss, while you're going through the pain, you can have peace. You can have joy. And you can have hope. And it's a peace and a joy and a hope that no one can take from you, because your peace and your joy and your hope is a person. Emmanuel. God with us. So when we do, we're gonna move into, I'm gonna call the ushers to come forward. We're gonna get ready to take communion together. And I want you to prepare, I want you to consider in your heart, you remember the story. The angel appeared to Mary and she pondered these things in her heart. As we begin to look at the elements of communion, I want you to ponder the meaning of the table. In your heart. Now listen, what Jesus did is something he did in the past that affects our future and directs, or affects our present and directs our future. He did something in the past that affects our present and directs our future. And that's what the elements stand for. This table speaks of something that was done in the past. We remember the Lord Jesus. We remember what he did. We think about the faithfulness of God. We see that even in the midst of a fallen world where people can be actually antagonistic to God, he still loves and carries out his will in spite of that. Yes, I will. And just as a reminder, because I know there's some thinkers out there, well, what about judgment? What about judgment then, Pastor Will? Okay, let's talk about that again. What God comes to deal with in judgment is evil, not people. He wouldn't be just and he wouldn't be God if he wasn't good. We'll say that about a judge that sits on a bench. If he is the judge of the universe, he's all love, but he's also just. And in Jesus, justice and mercy have kissed. The Bible says that. What God comes to deal with in judgment is evil, not people. And he's provided a way for people not to ever have to be judged. But when people won't let go of evil, evil draws them into judgment that God never meant for them and didn't want for them, and the whole time is calling out for them to repent, to change from the evil. Now, you might disagree with what evil looks like in someone's life. But God has given us his word, and most importantly, he's given us his spirit. And Jesus said that it's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Right? So I want to invite you today at Christmas not to try to be everybody's Holy Spirit, okay? Is that okay? Walk in love. Stand for truth. but walk in love. And even, you know, we speak the truth in love. Are you with me? Because if you don't speak the truth in love, it's half-truth. And a half-truth is a whole lie. Are you with me? I want to encourage you today. You're going to leave this place. Christmas is just a few days away. Remember what's important. Remember what's important. It's for the people that Jesus died, not for the party. That's good. You should write that down. It's for the people he died, not for the party, not for the pleasure, for the people. So we should love them too. That doesn't mean you put up with toxicity. We've talked about that. Love draws boundaries. But you don't have to be overwhelmed. You don't have to be discouraged. And you can be confident that Jesus loved you, that he came, he did show up, he kept his word, and he'll keep his word to you. Watches over his word to perform. Amen? And so we're given instruction. You guys can go ahead and start passing out the elements. We're given instruction in the scripture that the cup stands, the little cup, it stands for the blood of Christ that was shed for the remission of sins. And sometimes that can be confusing. I thought I was forgiven. Well, the reason you're forgiven is because remission means when you stand before God in Jesus' name. Listen to me now, when you stand before God in Jesus' name, it's like you never sinned. It's like it never happened because Jesus bore the weight of that sin and that guilt. There was a divine exchange. That's why Advent was so celebrated by the angels. God with us. Not only is he with you, he made a way to separate you from your sin so that he could be in you. Not so that you could wallow in it and stay in it, but so that you could overcome it, that you could overcome the issues that you face, the trials that you face, the brokenness that you face. God is more interested in you becoming the person that he created and redeemed you to be. And communion reminds us of that. The cup speaks of the blood of Jesus. No longer is the law something we have to live up to. Jesus took the law and made it something that we get to learn how to live out. It's not anymore about earning things from God. It's about learning how to be like God. Jesus said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." If you read about the new covenant in Jeremiah, it says, no one will ask each other, who is the Lord, or do you know the Lord? Because each of you will know me from the least to the greatest. I will take out the heart of stone and I will put in a heart of flesh. I will write my law on your heart with my spirit. And your sins and your lawless deeds will be forgiven. Then he took the bread and he said, take. He broke the bread. He blessed it. He said, take, eat. This is my flesh. Do this in remembrance of me. Now that's a reference to, first of all, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and the manna came from heaven. It was bread from heaven and it sustained them. Even though they didn't really, manna means, what is this? They didn't even really know. You know, you don't have to be an expert in theology for Jesus to change your life, to sustain you, to heal you, to lead you, to guide you. You don't have to be an expert. You just have to believe. You just have to accept it. But along with that body that was broken for you is the promise of healing. In Isaiah chapter 53, it says, he He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. The same way that God has already decided to forgive you, and all you have to do is come to him with an open heart. He's already decided to heal you, and all you have to do is come to him with an open heart. One of my best friends from college almost lost his life this last week. He came home a few days ago. It's a literal miracle. Yeah, come on, let's praise God for that. I mean, he went from dead to home with his family and gonna celebrate Christmas with them. And we see that stack of cards that Wally was talking about, we see it again and again and again and again and again. He heals us. That goes back to that peace portion. Nothing missing, nothing broken. So now that I think we've all been served, we're gonna do this together. I'm gonna read it from the scripture, and then I want you to follow along with me. We're gonna do it together. Again, with your heart. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So let's remember the Lord by receiving his body. Thank you for your broken body. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon you, and by your stripes we're healed. In the same manner, he took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You see it there, right? You're remembering what has been done. You're focusing on what's been made available to you in the present until he comes again to finalize everything and set all things right. Let's remember the Lord by receiving the cup. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, we just took communion, which means common union. Common union, what that means is I am joined to the Lord in the same way that each of you are, but that connection with the Lord joins us with each other. And that's what the candle lighting ceremony is all about. That your light, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they see your good deeds and they glorify God." Not you, God. And as we let our lights burn and we share our light with other people, the light of the gospel and the witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ can spread in a way that changes the lost and dying and fallen world for the better. Salt and light until Jesus comes back. Will you join us? Will you join us for the lighting ceremony now?
The lighting ceremony and the ushers come forward to prepare us. And I'm honored to get to do a scripture reading this morning. And as the last 4 weeks, we've talked about the hope and peace and joy of the Advent season, I want to focus on Paul's words from Romans 8:37-39. There's a reason we end with love in the Advent season. Thank you. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus loves you. Jesus came to this earth to be with us, to know us, to love us, so we have access to him. We're not just made to share God's love. We're not just a conduit. We do get to do that, but we were made so our Creator can love us. Romans 8:37-39. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Merry Christmas.